You're listening to episode number 98 of the Mark in Russia broadcast, and I'm Mark.
You're listening to the Mark in Russia podcast, broadcasting from the belly of the bear in Chelyabinsk, Russia. Kick back and enjoy the show. Don't be a pussy.
Wow, 98 episodes. When I made my first episode, I wasn't really thinking about what I'll do for my 100th episode. But now that I'm at 98, I guess that I need to give this some thought. But you know what? I don't think I'll do anything special. I mean, you know, what if I made an especially good episode for number 100? Then you, my listener, might ask, well, he appears to be capable of making an interesting episode. Why did it take 99 boring episodes to finally make a good one? Now, furthermore, it wouldn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that they should skip the next 99 episodes in order to hear the next interesting episode, number 200. So in the interest of self-preservation, I'll just produce my typical random rant for episode number 100. Well, that wasn't my plea for help. That was just me pulling back the curtain a little bit on how my brain processes my forms of logic. Now for my plea for help, and don't worry, it doesn't involve you having to spend any money. For those of you that don't know me, you can probably tell from the title of my show that I'm a guy named Mark who lives in Russia. In fact, I've lived here for more than 12 years already. I took up the podcasting internet radio hobby about 4 years ago, and I enjoy doing it as a hobby. With all the cool audio equipment that I've built up over the last 4 years and the ability to proceed beyond the learning curve, I've had a particular project in mind that I would like to do with this newfound knowledge. That is, in addition to my rants, which act as a sanity release in an increasingly insane world. What we in the States call the greatest generation are also honored here in Russia. I mean, Russians of that generation. The most brutal battles of World War II were fought in Russia and unknown to the West until after the fall of the USSR is the fact that about 24 million people in the USSR were killed in World War II. There isn't a family here that wasn't touched in negative ways by that war. The last week of January marked the 70th anniversary, marking the end of the Siege of Leningrad, which is modern-day St. Petersburg. This was the longest siege in history, lasting about 900 days. The city was blockaded and assaulted by the German Northern Army all during this time. More than 1 million people died during this time, mainly civilians. During the worst parts of the siege, nearly 1,000 people a day died from starvation alone. Well, this greatest generation from all of the Allied armies that fought against the Nazis is very rapidly dying out, and in a few short years will be gone for good. And along with the people will go countless stories and unrecorded bits of history that should have been preserved for the families and also for interested people in general throughout the world. As it is said, those who don't remember history are doomed to repeat it. I've often wished that someone in my family had recorded my grandparents or great-grandparents or even my parents as they related stories of their youths. But unfortunately, nobody did this. Today we live in a world where almost everyone carries an MP3 player, a smartphone, or other recording device. Yet even today, people are more interested in watching some stupid-ass cats do stupid things on YouTube rather than honoring senior family members by asking about their youth and recording these stories for future generations. My project that I'm finally launching is to capture as many stories as possible from Russians who lived through or fought in World War II, known as the Great Patriotic War here in Russia. I'm interested in the stories of regular people, and I'm not really interested in preserving the politics of that day. Now, as a foreigner, it can be difficult for me to find people to speak with about this, and this is what I'm asking for my listeners' assistance with. Please help me find people I can speak with and record the conversation. I mean, you help find the people. I can speak with them and record the conversation. Now, I have the equipment and will come, you know, with my own interpreter, so all I need is for the seniors to be willing to speak with me. I'll come to them. And when I'm finished, I'll supply the family with a copy of all the recordings so that they can keep this as part of their family history. Additionally, I'll produce a radio piece from some of the stories, which in addition to the speaker, will be dubbed into English for others in the world to learn about these brave and strong individuals and to hear their stories. If you feel that you can help me with someone I can interview, please contact me at mark@markinrussia.com, or for Russians, which is really who this is directed at, Mark Sabachka, markinrussia.com, and you can write to me in either English or Russian. I'd love to be able to do this, and this does not benefit me in any way financially. It's just a desire of mine. I've actually spent a good part of the last year, studying the production of stories for radio, trying to prepare myself technically for this project, you know, and improve. Having studied several online courses, including being a beta tester for one of the best radio production schools in the world, I want to do this, and I want to do it right, but time is rapidly passing for this generation, and every day more and more of these heroes pass away. Please help me if you can. Well, thanks for hearing out my request for assistance. And again, please, I'll treat the people and their stories with absolute dignity. And I really hope that I can get the help of some of my listeners. Well, at this point, I would like to have you listen to the first short story of this new project. The story is only 5 minutes long, and I'd be honored if you would take the time to listen to it. Even more so if you would take the time to tell me what you think about it. You can just write it in the comments on my website. And the website is markinrussia.com. The name of the story is A Children's Playground in Post-World War II Soviet Union. Comrades, compatriots, the great victory day over Germany is here. The fascist Germany, brought to its knees by the Red Army and our allies' armies, has recognized itself beaten and announced its unconditional surrender. On the 7th of May, a preliminary protocol of capitulation was signed in the city of...
Троем сверстники.
So there were three of us about the same age. We were taking care of the cows, took cows out in the pasture. It was on the edge of a freshly plowed field where we found this big bomb. We discovered it there. As for us, the first post-war generation, we were subject to loose ammo and weapons lying all around, and it was left for us to take care of. I took a very active part in trying to make those things explode. It was our favorite time passing at the time. Many kids of my age died, got killed during such activities, and others got maimed. When I was a kid, I tried making different kinds of ammo explode, such as mines, bullets, artillery shells, yeah. And one of the biggest was about 50 kilos plane bomb. I was about 12 or 13 years old. It did not have a detonator in it. Something must have happened. It had been sitting there for years, and tractors or whatever, plows went by, and nothing ever happened since there was no detonator. So we saw it. So we decided to undertake the task of correcting what Germans didn't do. Two of my friends were a year younger than me, so we made the decision of bringing this bomb into a hole in the ground where they would have like some commanders sit. So it was rather deep underground, so we decided that we would carry it into this pit hole and make fire, and that should help us make it explode. We saw earth flying upwards, just a black pillar of earth particles, pieces of whatever was on the ground, blackness. The bomb was sizable, rather big. The pieces started flying, and they flew rather far, and they never touched us.
Осколки свистели над нами, летели.
Shrapnel whistling over our heads, taking off branches off the trees, treetops, and continued flying.
Ну все взорвалось, мы пошли посмотрели воронку.
So when it stopped, everything stopped flying and shooting. Everything was quiet. We crawled closer and looked at the size of the hole that the explosion made. It wasn't too big. We were not too impressed with it. Very soon, some adults appeared on the side. One of my friend's father, the other's older brother, and my mother carrying a belt. The explosion was very powerful, very loud. There was a lot of dust in the air. You could hear it from very far. So they figured that we had something to do with it. So they came in to settle some business with us. Everyone got bitten. For me, it was my last one. It was the last one. My mother used the belt on me.
Вот такое было детство. Такие у нас были игры и игрушки.
That was the type of childhood I had. That was our entertainment and our games and toys.
Меня мама последний раз била ремнем. Мне было 13 лет.
Well, thank you for listening to my first part of my hopefully long-term project. And also thank you for listening to my broadcast today. Please come back next time. But until that time, goodbye.